Okay, maybe I spoke too soon, because that green-eyed monster came back with a vengeance. On the podcast this week, more emotions and introspection about my parenting partnership and romantic relationship with the same person. Plus, the interview is with her too. It's Erie Week, here on My Unconventional Life. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? Feeling pretty tired. I've been staying at Erie's every night since I got back to LA, and her little spider dog jumps on the bed during the night and pads all over us and scratches its head, thumping its paw on the bed, waking me up and stopping me getting back to sleep. Erie sleeps right through it, of course, but I'm lucky to get more than a few hours sleep. Erie says it's good practice for when we have a baby, and in a way she's right. In another way, though, I'd like to be as rested as possible when that happens. Anyway, while I was on the road last week, Erie texted me that she'd been out on a date and had ended up making out with the guy, which really fired my jealousy switch hard. Even if I wasn't mad or hurt and she'd done nothing wrong, and in fact, because she'd been so open about it, I couldn't help but love her more. I guess I just felt so surprised because she said that she wasn't interested in dating anyone right now, so I wasn't expecting it. Plus, I'm so emotionally raw right now with these new emotions. But I guess it's only natural. And afterwards, I still loved her just as much. As I said, if not more so for being honest. I've learned a lot over the last week about how my past still has a hold on me when it comes to fear of deception. Erie and I talked that night, though, and she explained what happened in detail, and as is always the case, it's never as bad as you imagine. And it made me feel even closer to and more in love with her. We talked about the idea of being primary partners. It certainly seems to be that way, and organically so. We certainly will be if we have kids. We're still waiting to know if she's pregnant. She'd normally have her period in a few days, so that'll be the moment. She said she feels a little odd, but isn't sure just yet. You know what's funny? I always felt before that being non-monogamous wouldn't make me love Erie any less. More, in fact. She encouraged me to just be my authentic self, because true love is love without conditions. She's also told me, I love you because of the person I am when I'm with you, which is really, really nice. I am so in love with her. And not scared of that, in and of itself. And I have found, despite my previous beliefs in non-monogamy for me, that my desires to be with anyone else, certainly in terms of having sex, are seemingly disappearing. I interviewed the wonderful couple this week that I'd met through SPLA. We discussed their open communication about dating outside of their primary relationship, and seeing their love and connection really helped. It still made me feel pangs of jealousy, hearing about some of their experiences and challenges, but it was nonetheless a huge positive and should be a great interview when it goes up in a few weeks. And I finally watched the whole of Memento this week, which sounds like a random thing to say, I know, but it left me feeling very perturbed about my life. You know how when you leave a movie, for a short time it can alter your own worldview in the same way? Like leaving Karate Kid and thinking you can beat up a bully? After Memento, I had this strange feeling that this was all a dream, that the last 6 months hadn't really happened, and I was eventually going to wake up and not know Erie or have my dream job. And I realized after I went to bed last night what this meant. You see, I'd always thought that I wanted a platonic parenting partnership because I didn't want the potential dissolution of a romantic sexual relationship to hurt my parenting one. But I realized that what I really wanted to avoid was the anxiety and fear of that happening. I never really realized how strong that fear was from some of my past relationships. And it's not entirely irrational. It is hard to trust someone when you're so emotionally invested in them and truly vulnerable. That's how I'm feeling now. If I had to sum it up in one word, it's vulnerable. It makes me want to just grab Eri and kiss her and hold her close to me and never let her go until we die. Yep, sounds like love. Feels like love. Probably love. This week's interview is with Eri, as we discuss and then sign our parenting partnership agreement contract, which actually began all these feelings of jealousy and possessiveness that have sprung up over the last month. I gotta know this too will pass. But god damn, it feels pretty strong now. Okay, so here we are. This is, I don't want to say it's unexpected, because this is obviously where we wanted to get, right?
Yes.
But we are now potentially a couple of weeks away from trying to make a baby.
Yep.
Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I think
right?
So. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you first came up with the idea of being a parenting partner, it was kind of a vague notion, right? I mean, because originally you thought about doing it with your friend.
Right.
And then when he wasn't really sure about it, then you looked into other options. So did you, when you started looking into other options, did you ever imagine you'd be sat here today?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And when you imagined that, who did you imagine it with, or was it just a
When I first met you, I kind of knew right away.
What?
Well, I told you I have a very good intuition about people, so I kind of knew. I was pretty sure.
The first day?
First few times.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So within a month, I knew.
Within a month, mm-hmm. You knew that I was a good one.
Yes, good one.
Yeah. Or you knew that I was going to be the one.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you never had any doubt that I was going to eventually come around to the idea and sign off 100%?
Yeah.
What made you so sure? Because I went out and had a coffee with your friend, and that was one of his big concerns. He was like, you know, you're asking all these questions and you're not sure about it. And, you know, I just think that because you're uncertain at this point, you're always going to be uncertain. If that's the case, try not to waste Aries time, because, you know, she has a limited time window. So if you're not going to do this, then don't do this. If you are going to do it, then do it. And at the time, I wasn't ready, and you know, I needed more time, etc. But he seemed to have his doubts, whereas you evidently never did.
Right. I think I told you from the beginning that, well, you probably know me much better now, that I trust my gut feelings and intuition. So that's what I envisioned, actually.
Right.
A long time ago, yep.
You manifested it.
Yeah, maybe part of it, yes.
Right, okay. So how have things changed, if at all, since you had that first sort of realization after a few weeks or a month?
There wasn't a special moment that I thought, oh, this is it. No, it wasn't like that. But it was kind of vague feelings that I guess, like, yeah, this is it. Like, I can just see it myself.
Right.
You know, being a parenting with this person, I can just see it. And more time passed, the clearer that it got, kind of.
Right. And it has for me, too, I don't have any doubts. I don't think for a second it's going to be easy. I know my life's going to have to change dramatically.
Right.
And I know there will be things that happen that I'm not prepared for. Can't possibly be.
Right, nobody is.
But I have faith that we can communicate well and resolve any sort of situation that arises.
Right.
I don't think that's being naive. I mean...
I think it's being a positive, and in a way I think it's realistic with our personality, I think we are compatible. We both know how to compromise things. So I think it's going to work too. Right. I'm sure there are times it may not, but that's why we pick those mediators.
Right.
And hopefully they can step in to solve that.
If we have any issues.
Yeah, if it, there is ever, you know, but I just don't see that maybe an issue. Wouldn't be maybe a huge issue.
Yeah. Now, obviously, though, our relationship has changed somewhat since, you know, we first met. How you feel that, have your feelings changed at all in that time? Because, I mean, we say I love you to each other now, and I do feel that I love you, and I feel that you love me as well. But it's not like a traditional romantic relationship.
Right.
But there is that element of love and care and compassion. And I remember you said to me just recently that even if we didn't have kids together, you'd still want me to be in your life and to be friends.
Yeah, well, because I believe every relationship, whether it's romantic or not, they have to be friendship kind of love, you know. So we definitely have that, and I think we have more than that, of course, you know. We have a very intimate relationship, and especially when you have sex with somebody, it become more like a next level, because you really give your almost like a soul to this person, part of yourself. So that I think makes the relationship stronger.
Right. Do you feel that's changed your feelings at all? Because I know we talked about a week or two ago about the notion of jealousy. Because a lot of times people said to me, oh, you know, she'll say this now, but once you have sex with her and once you have a kid with her, she's going to change how she feels. She's going to want you for herself, and you're going to start feeling those sense of monogamy as well.
Well, like I said, you know, the other day, I'm not a jealous person to begin with. But of course, I'm human. I do feel jealous sometimes, but like we talk about, this is how we react to it. I just notice that I'm jealous, and it kind of goes away, and I let go, and I just don't react to it, because it's not rational, actually, for me. You know, when you think about rationally, it's kind of sometimes ridiculous. So
it depends, doesn't it? Jealousy, to a certain extent, is the perceived loss of a valuable asset in the sense of a relationship. So in some situations, it could be quite rational to feel jealous because someone perhaps is moving out of the relationship. But oftentimes it's not as well. So again, it all comes down to that. But you did say, though, while we were on the subject of jealousy, that you did feel a little jealous that if you get pregnant, you can't date, but I can date someone else, right?
Well, okay, I only say that because, unlike you, I don't say what I think right away. I like the process. So I was thinking about it even a couple months ago when you started telling me about who you're dating or this and that. And I thought, I haven't done that because it's not my priority, first of all.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to work with our relationship first, you know, to work towards this, because this is my priority in my life. Then you were just dating, and I kind of got jealous of the fact that you can date. And I thought, I cannot date. So I'm talking about a situation that I was jealous of, you know, because you're a guy. Yeah, you can, you know, you're kind of single and do whatever, you know. But girls, I mean, having the big belly and everything, who's going to want to date me? that was the jealousy that I had, you know. Not particularly who or anything, the situation.
Sure.
But now I know that it's not even an issue. Because I told you, I put myself on the dating site and people didn't seem to care at all.
Right.
So,
but is that something that you'd want to do? Because before, when you talked about it, you have kind of felt as though normally when you're with one person, you don't really have a great desire to be with anybody else.
True.
And especially when you're pregnant, is that something? Well, I suppose it's difficult for you to know because...
Yeah, I wouldn't know until I get pregnant and see how my hormone change. One night, nothing may change.
Yeah.
Something I can't tell, you know?
Right, and that's the reality. Right. And whether we were in a co-parenting relationship or a traditional relationship, same thing is true.
Right.
To a certain extent, you're limited to know how you're going to feel given your hormones and whatever else. So what you can hopefully understand is that, yes, you may have mood fluctuations because of hormones, but hopefully you'll be able to act in a more of a rational way and go, okay, I'm feeling this way now, but I'm not going to let it affect my behavior to such a large extent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's certainly a valid approach to things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a thought occurred to me, A, if you did want to date someone else when you were pregnant with my kid,
mm-hmm.
how would I feel about it?
Yeah.
It would be a little odd. I mean, yeah. it really would. And I obviously wouldn't have any ability or any desire to stop you from doing anything that you felt you wanted to do that was healthy and positive.
Mm-hmm.
But it would feel a little bit odd. But then I thought to myself, wait a second, what happens if you don't want to date anyone, but if you get super horny, where like I've heard people who are pregnant want to have sex like all the time, and then you want to have sex all the time, can I, you know...
Can you what?
Can I keep up with that?
Oh, can you keep up with that?
And
I have vibrator.
But I guess it's not even that. It's not necessarily the sex. It's just the connection. It's yeah. the affection. It's mm-hmm. to know that you feel safe and supported.
Right.
Right. That's yeah. as big a deal as anything. And
I mean, sex for me is two things. Sometimes I just want to get off and I just take care of the business. Can be done in 5 minutes. Physiological things.
Yeah.
And sometimes I want to connect with a person, you know.
Right.
And you have sex. More like making love. So it's two different things, I guess.
Yeah, you're quite perfunctory about it in some ways, right? Maybe everybody is. I don't know. Like, just recently, I don't know whether it's all these fertility meds that I've been taking, but I haven't felt a strong libido, which is odd. And maybe I haven't for a long time, really. But it's odd because I've always been talking about, oh, you know, non-monogamy, etc., etc. And so you would think I've got all this desire to, like, sleep with lots of different girls, and I really don't.
But you've never been that way, I thought, even
when I was younger.
Well, everybody when they were younger, even
right,
me.
Right, right, right. But maybe it's just comes of age, I don't know. But the yeah. point of the matter is, I think what I've accepted is it's not about having sex with lots of girls. It's about just knowing and being around lots of girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm perfectly okay with that, you know. It's not,
yeah.
the sex isn't the be-all and end-all of any kind of relationship, I don't think. It all comes back to, like you said, friendship, right?
Right.
At the end of the day. So they are, as we said, potentially 2 weeks away from go time, because that's when you're going to be ovulating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about it, it sounds a little robotic or a little unromantic.
Because you're like on the schedule.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
But I don't think, you said something to me about a month ago. You said there are far worse things than having a child with someone that you love.
I'm sorry, say it again, far more.
You said there are far worse things than having a kid with someone that you love. Talking about how we love each other now. Like, my concern from having a kid with someone I was in a sexually intimate relationship with was that that side of things can sort of fail and that can be an issue. And once you have feelings of love for someone, that can further make things more difficult. But you said to me, there's far worse things than having a kid with someone that you love.
Did I say that?
You did.
Just have my blonde moment.
I thought it was a really profound thing to say.
I must have put it into different words.
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
Because I don't get it.
Right.
Sorry. But what I told you was that it probably wouldn't happen because just from my past experience in the past relationships, I guess, you know, even the relationship ended, I'm still a friend with them.
Yeah.
And I still love them, you know? So
right.
I don't
so
think
my
that
concern about the end of a sexual relationship isn't anything you're concerned about, because whether it does or it doesn't, you have absolute faith that we will still be close,
mm-hmm.
loving friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
I'll
I
respect
think is,
you know.
Yeah.
As much as I could, yeah.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yes.
It's all good. It's exciting times. For me, I don't think there was ever a huge amount of doubt. It was just the notion that it had been such a short amount of time, mm-hmm. and the idea of moving forward after such a short amount of time felt a little bit disingenuous, especially after talking to friends and they're like, you can't. But the trip we just took to England, mm-hmm. where we spent essentially 24/7 around each other and mm-hmm. you met all my friends, I think really helped a great deal to see how we get along in close proximity. And at least for my part, I thought we got on perfectly well, you know? Now, of course, that's easy. We're on a vacation and we're going around London and we're having a wonderful time. You know, we don't have a little crying baby shitting itself all the time and wakes us up every 3 hours, you know? So, okay, I get it. It's definitely easier to get on with someone when you're on vacation than when you have a child with someone. So I understand that 100%. But aside from actually having a child ourselves or adopting one or taking care of one, we can't possibly know that.
Right.
And I think to a large extent, we're kind of limited on time to have the potential to do that. You know, I do feel like we've done due diligence and we've hung out as much as we can and we've talked. And I feel like life's short. And sometimes, it's what Rachel said to me, fortune favours the bold. And sometimes it takes a leap of faith.
Yeah, it does. And really believe life is short. And if you think this is the right time, just do it. I think that's the different thing between me and you. I just go with my gut feeling. I take risk and I just do it now, you know, because I want to live this moment. So I mean, I'll think about, you know, I'll calculate the risk and everything, but I'll still, you know, I wouldn't put it off. I tend to just do it right away if I were to put my mind into it.
Right.
So,
well, in a way, that's potentially a good thing as well. When I talked to Rachel about her successful parenting partnership in the past, it was because she was a person who liked to take risks and was willing to do that, and her parenting partner was a guy that would put the brakes on and they'd find a happy medium. So maybe that's a good thing too.
Yeah, I think so. We can maybe balance that out.
You know,
our personality in that way is very different. So,
right.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing.
Good. Okay. So we have a 4-page contract, which we've worked on over the last 4 or 5 months. Nigel and Aries Parenting Partnership. And again, it's fascinating, I guess interesting, that here we are potentially having a child together and we've got 4 pages written down about it, which makes it seem, again, a little unromantic and a little cold and stoic. But it just seems like a smart thing to do.
Yeah, you know, I was telling all my friends who've been asking about this and say, you know, what I told them is that, you know, this is actually a very good idea. It's actually better than I thought. That, you know, by doing this, it made us think, you know, more in the future and prepare a lot of things that normally wouldn't have think about, you know, like future, like school to finance and all this kind of thing. You know, traditional relationship, they don't plan this thing.
Yeah.
They just go, you know, they just take care of things as it goes, and a lot of unexpected thing that they find on the way. But this, it's kind of like you have a pretty good idea what's going to come. Of course, there are, you know, so many unexpected things that's going to happen. That's life. But this is kind of like making you prepare a lot more than most of the people, you know, who gone through the traditional relationship. So I actually told them, you know, for anyone, I would recommend them to do the same. Even the married couple.
Yeah, right.
It was a very good idea that we did this.
Yeah. It's just something that a lot of people don't want to do because they feel it ruins the magic or the romantic nature of their relationship, I think. You know what I mean? If they have to write down, well, what happens if we get divorced? What happens if we fall in love with someone else? What happens, et cetera, et cetera, you know? In fact, I know a number of people who got divorced because they didn't discuss most of these things.
Yeah.
People who, one of them wanted a kid and one of them didn't want a kid. And yet they still got married and they just sort of went, maybe you'll change.
That is a big thing.
You think so, right? And then other things as well, like religion. And I guess what it is oftentimes because they're having sex and their body is rushed with this oxytocin and these endorphins, they can shut off that part, that rational part of their brain that says, this person's probably not a good fit for me for the rest of my life.
Right.
Whereas,
that's true.
You know, I think that
that's why this is a very smart thing to do for any couple. Doesn't matter what the relationship style is.
But right.
It's a great way to do. Not just for the kids, but if you know, you're going to get married, these kind of things are very important.
Because it doesn't change the fact that what we're doing still involves love.
Right.
Love for each other and love for our kids, as the case may be. It's just that we've got the practicalities written down and we're on the same page. It doesn't stop any other emotions coming into being.
Right.
So here we are, Nigel and Eri's parenting partnership. What follows is an agreement between Eri. Maybe we shouldn't use our real names. What do you think? Let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah, okay.
I don't care, but you go ahead. I mean, they all know your name, right?
Yeah. What follows is an agreement between Eri and Nigel concerning their plan to be parenting partners in the raising of their, as of this date, unconceived biological child. To that end, both Eri and Nigel, in clear conscience, free of any coercion or chemical influence, agree. Number one, the sole purpose of this agreement and their relationship is to create, nurture, and raise their biological child. While it may occur, given the intended mode of natural insemination and time spent together, neither have any expectations or obligations in terms of a romantic nature for the relationship. It is fully understood that, with certain limitations in terms of introduction to the child, to be detailed later herein, both are free to date whoever they wish. Above all, the welfare of the child must be the determining factor in every decision made. And I think that's probably the most important thing of anything that we wrote down.
Right.
That any decision that we make, things that we couldn't have conceived of, first thing to consider is what's best for the kid, and then we adapt accordingly. Pregnancy. 4. They will attempt to conceive via natural insemination. If unsuccessful, IVF may be attempted. Both parties will have equal parenting rights from successful insemination. So I suppose we haven't really talked about IVF a whole lot because, you know, we're both healthy and hopefully won't need it.
Right, I don't think so either.
But the option is there. Yep. 5. Once pregnant, Eri will change her insurance to cover the cost of giving birth and Nigel will split the extra cost 50-50. 6. If through routine testing it is determined that the fetus has Down syndrome or other significant mental impairment, Nigel would like the pregnancy terminated. Eri agrees with this. However, Nigel accepts that the final decision for doing so, if such a situation arises, is ultimately Eri's choice as mother. Now, we've talked about that and you kind of feel on the same page as me, right? But, as I said, ultimately, you're the mum and you've got to make that decision because it certainly can't be easy, I'm sure. 7. If possible, a water birth is preferred unless emergency services are required. And you sent me videos of a water birth. It looked pretty... Any kind of birth looks pretty fucking scary to me. I mean...
I don't know. I think it's beautiful, but, you know, from the women's point of view, maybe with your own child, maybe different, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's a life experience, right? So
yeah, exactly.
I will do my absolute best. Once the child is born, 8. If male, there will be no circumcision. The child's last name will be what it will be. Our last name's hyphenated. 10. While Eri will be the primary caregiver, and Nigel's involvement will be dependent on his work and reasonable social commitments, Nigel will have unlimited access to the child and equal parenting rights. 11. The child will live at Eri's residence with Nigel having unlimited access. Once off breastfeeding, the child may stay occasionally at Nigel's if he or she wishes to. 12. Both parties will create a living trust or will to cover details in the event of either party's death. 13. The child will be American by birth, of course. British and or Japanese citizenship will be determined after birth. Finances. Once the child is born and for the first 2 years of life, Eri will not work and any expenses incurred for the child will be split 70-30 Nigel-Eri. Nigel and Eri will both provide all such receipts each month and then Nigel will reimburse accordingly 70% of Eri's costs after subscription of 30% of his. This includes the child's food, clothing, toys, vacations, and the increase in health insurance to cover the child. So a lot of wording, but it all pretty much explains itself and makes sense.
Yeah.
15. After the child's second birthday, Eri will resume working and expenses will be split 50-50. This includes the child's food, clothing, toys, schooling, vacations, after-school activities and sports, and the increase in health insurance to cover the child. The monthly receipt and stock taking will continue in this regard. 16. A savings account will be created in the child's name. Ari and Nigel both depositing $100 per month for college funds or whatever the child wishes to use it for at age 18. Mm-hmm. Education. Then we've got a list of the schools where you would like the child to go to, and they're all Japanese immersion schools. Is that what you call them?
Yes.
So they teach everything in Japanese because they're going to learn to speak English just by living in America. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great idea because it's great to be bilingual. I'm learning Japanese, as you know now, at a very slow pace.
No, I think you're doing a great job.
Hopefully I can learn the same time as my kid. Then we've got 20. The child will be allowed to pursue whatever extracurricular activities they desire within reasonable time limitations, on the understanding that, barring unusual situations such as bullying, they should continue them for at least 6 months before quitting after a discussion into their reasoning. The child should choose at least one activity so as to be involved in one at any time. Such activities include jiu-jitsu and dance. 21. Both Eri and Nigel should attend parent-teacher conferences as much as possible. Residences. 22. Barring a necessary relocation for work, Nigel will maintain a different residence within a reasonable distance from Eri. This may be in Glendale for the purpose of school district when the child is of school age, but this is not guaranteed and will be discussed at the time. 23. If Nigel has to relocate for work, Eri will maintain full custody of the child, but Nigel will not lose any parental rights. Health. 24. If this is starting to sound a little bit boring for people listening, this is what you need to do. You need to go into this depth and cover as much as you possibly can. This is why when people say, "Well, aren't you worried? Why aren't you freaking out?" Like, we've done due diligence. We've talked about everything we possibly can, you know. We've done everything we possibly can to think this is the best way that we can be parents. And that, I think, is why I feel quite confident. Well, that was the first part. Tune in next week, if that's a thing with a podcast, to hear about the rest of our contract and our goals for this relationship that after next week could certainly be for the rest of our lives. That is life. We'll get through it, and you get through it, like the Beatles said, with a little help from your friends. It's a song. I'll have to play it for you.
Blank look on my face.
I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule. Hello.